Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I'm Steve Alm. I'm a judge from Honolulu, Hawaii. As a former U.S. attorney, it's been a long time since I've been standing behind this seal, but it feels good. And it felt very good yesterday to hear Lori Robinson, who I used to work with, and we started Weed and Seed Sites. We did a number of things like that. But to hear the idea that we got to go with what works, don't have an agenda going into something, try to come up, you know, be open to new ideas, trying new things, be pragmatic about it. And that's what I think I've brought to this kind of an effort. I was on the bench starting in 2001. I got assigned to my current assignment in June of 2004. I'm a regular felony trial calendar judge. Murders, rapes, robberies, drugs. Hawaii has one of the lowest violent crime rates in the country, thank goodness. We have one of the very highest property crime rates. Methamphetamine has been our drug of choice for the last 20 years. Not our drug, all of our drug of choice, but has been the biggest problem. I think 60% of the folks' positive tests are for methamphetamine. And from the first month I was on the calendar, I would get motions to revoke probation from the probation officers. And to give you an idea of our size, I'd get motions to revoke from our probation officers. We have about, 8,000 plus offenders on Oahu, in Honolulu, on probation or deferral. We have probation officers with typical heavy caseloads, like all over the country. If they're banked, it's in the hundreds, but otherwise it's 160, 80, 200 to 1. We have methamphetamine being our biggest drug of choice. We have 99 times out of 100, the POs at these motions to revoke probation would recommend to me, this person is not amenable to probation, send them to prison for 5, 10, or 20 years, the underlying offense. And I thought, this is crazy. This is no way to change somebody's behavior. Now, at sentencing, if somebody's violent or dangerous, they should go to prison. That's not the issue. It's if they're going to be on probation, can we make them succeed on probation? And so I thought, okay, what to do? If I didn't like the current system, what to do to make it different? And I looked at the statutes, and I did a lot of thinking, and I thought, okay, what do parents do? What do I do as a parent? If my kid screws up, I don't ignore it repeatedly and then the following year kick them out of the house, which in a way is what is the way probation works. And I'm not criticizing our probation officers or our judges. They didn't have tools. They had two options, I think. For the folks that are doing fine on probation, it's not an issue, but we're not here because of them. When folks are screwing up on probation, the PO could either try to work with them on it, in spite of missed appointments, dirty drug tests, not going to treatment, refusals to go to treatment, and eventually perhaps make a good case to send the case for a revocation back to the judge, requesting or saying, this person is not amenable to probation, we've kind of given up on him, send them to prison. And so, as a parent, if you can have swift and certain consequences, if your kid does something wrong, you deal with it. You talk to them and you give them a consequence. Now, how to make our probation system work that way? Well, I sat down with an enlightened probation supervisor. I explained what I wanted to do. And looking at the statutes, we're going to make these motions to modify probation, not revoke probation. I brought the prosecutor in, the public defender, folks in the jail system. And I asked the supervisor and the prosecutors, design us a new 3-page fill-in-the-blanks motion to modify. If this isn't easy to do for paperwork, the probation officers are never going to be able to do it. It'll also be easier for the court staff. They don't do a new judgment, so it's a 2-page fill-in-the-blanks. The motion to modify probation is a 2-page fill-in-the-blanks. Check off the box. They tested dirty on this day. They missed an appointment on this day. They didn't go to treatment. The probation officers can do this in under 5 minutes to get this done. And that's the way we can try to make it work. The public defender then said to me, you know, Judge, if you're going to, you know, I said, we're going to arrest people as soon as they violate. We're deconstructing the motion to revoke probation, which took the probation officer hours to prepare. And instead, this 5-minute thing, but we're going to deconstruct and go back to the first violation and deal with it and hope they learn from that. This is all about keeping people out of prison unless they're really violent and dangerous, and then they should go to prison. But the idea is to deal with it immediately. So the public defender said, you know, the rules are the same, but you're actually going to enforce them for the first time. Can you warn our guys of how this is going to work? And I said, that makes sense, but and we're going to target the highest risk folks on probation, because those are the folks you can get the best bang for your buck doing it. So sex offenders, the ones that the public is the most concerned about, domestic violence offenders, we do the violent ones, we do everybody who's having trouble on probation. And the middle group there are folks who have failed at regular probation, either refused to go to treatment or failed at treatment and were still testing dirty. They were going to get revoked. We started with those folks on this. And the whole idea is we get everybody together with this. And our strategy here is to get the whole system working together very quickly in order to get this done. So it starts with the warning hearing. In no uncertain terms, the folks are brought into court, their attorneys there, prosecutors there, public probation officers there, and I explain, for you not to be sent to prison means you're making a deal with me as the judge that you're going to follow the rules of probation. If you're not going to do that, tell me right now and I'll send you to prison. You'll save everybody in this courtroom time, but everybody in here wants you to succeed on probation. Your attorney does, the prosecutor does, I do, the people of the state of Hawaii. In Hawaii, it's $50,000 a year to lock people up. It's tremendously expensive. That's part of the reason why we send half of our inmates out of state, mostly to Arizona, because it's $27,000 a year there. Easy call for governor, policymakers, legislators, not so good for the inmates and their families, you know, and the like. But that's the reality we face. And so at this warning hearing, I tell them, if you test dirty for drugs, you're going to go to jail. If you don't see your probation officer, you and I both know it means you know you're going to test dirty, or you're doing something you shouldn't do, or you're blowing off the PO and me. All of those will result in going to jail. If you can stop using drugs on your own, that's great. But we're going to find out, because you're going to get drug tested. You're going to call a drug test hotline every weekday morning. You're given a color for privacy purposes. If your color comes up, you have to come in that day for a drug test. If you test positive, you're going to jail. If you don't show up, the Federal Fugitive Task Force is going to come and get you. Because with my prior experience, I was able to talk to our HIDA. I was able to talk to the U.S. Marshal. They agreed to serve the warrants for my courtroom. So I have a wanted poster I hold up in court at the warning hearing. And I say, if you don't show up for anything, the guys who make all these arrests are going to come and arrest you. They're not going to come alone. People can get hurt. It's embarrassing. So even if you've screwed up, come in anyway. I'm going to sanction you, but not for as long as... Not as long as if we have to use all these resources to have people come and get you. And to the offenders, this makes sense. They're all nodding along. We're telling them exactly what the expectations are. And I tell them, I can't control your behavior. You're an adult. If you choose to get high, you're going to miss your kid's Pop Warner football game this weekend. Or you're not going to be able to do something that you wanted to do. But you chose the ice pipe over that activity. So it's up to you. I can't control what you're going to do, but I can control what I'm going to do. Now, do you have any questions? What if I test dirty today? That's a good question. Well, your PO is here. My guess is he's not going to, or she's not going to start you on the hotline for a few days. And that's exactly right, because this stays in your bloodstream typically 48, 72 hours. We have a very rapid drug screen. It's $5. If anybody can test, we send it out to GCMS confirmation. So that's the way it works. Now, we started with 34 people 4.5 years ago. We now have 1,475 or more, including 1,250 felons. The results have been even, you know, better than I could have thought. We've reduced positive drug tests by 86%, missed appointments by more than 80%. The longer they're in this, those numbers get better and better. Random control trial is being done right now. The results are going to be published in the next couple of months. Probation revocations are down by more than 50%. Arrests for new crimes, totally outside of anything to do with the judiciary, are down by more than 50%. That's why the police are willing to help out and serve these warrants. As the police chief said to me, so the idea is if we get more resources up front and pick these guys up before they commit new crimes, then maybe down the road we won't have to investigate the burglary or the car theft. I said, that's exactly what the hope is. We've got $1.2 million from the legislature the last 4 years, $770,000 for drug treatment slots, because a bunch of people need treatment. But treatment works, but believe me, it works even better if they know they're going to get arrested if they walk out before they finish. And people told me, you know, it's not going to work. We've got guys who've been in prison before. We've got almost everybody's been in jail before. And I said, yeah, but human nature being what it is, a lot of people can do time when they have to, but they don't want to do it today. So if they think, if I use today, I might get tested tomorrow, go to jail tomorrow, I'm not going to use today. They get drug tested at least once a week when they start, sometimes 2 days in a row, 6 times a month on the hotline. If they make every appointment and test clean every time, they're given a new color, half as often. 2 more months, half as often again, as a reward for doing what's right. The jail beds between the study group and the control group, from preliminary numbers I've heard, like I say, the study's not out yet, show jail has been neutral, in spite of the fact that we are arresting these guys and giving them these short, I give them a few days or a week the first time, and equivalent or more later on. The prison beds have been greatly reduced. This is going to be a true cost savings. And when the police don't have to make a new arrest, the whole system's going to benefit from it. Now, one of the things, and there are no sacred cows in this, we're just going with what we've seen. Not everybody needs drug treatment. Meth users as well as other people. A significant number are able to stop using in a system they know they're going to go to jail each and every time. That saves the precious treatment beds for the folks that really need it. Our treatment providers are totally on board with this. Our public defender is totally on board with this. What I handed out here are benchmarks. If anyone wants to do it, I will be happy to talk to any judge in your jurisdiction. At the bottom of the back page of that has our website. It has more, judiciary website, it has more than you want to know about Hope Probation. And Hope, how did that name come up? Well, we started, after we started this for a while, I had a contest among the probation officers and court staff. One of the early entries was Yank and Spank. And I thought, well, there's some accuracy to that, but it's certainly not aspirational enough. Nothing I could come to Washington with. So somebody came up with Hawaii's Opportunity Probation with Enforcement. And I thought, that says it all. We want these folks to succeed. They've got to step up. We can help meet them and do that. Now, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, I think, was very honest with Mexico recently, talking about we all have shared responsibility in that. It's the United States' insatiable desire for drugs. And I don't think it's an overstatement to say if we do this right, we have found a way to slake that demand. We can actually reduce demand this way if people are willing to work a little harder, work a little smarter, move quickly. And I'm hoping we can play a big part of that in Hope Probation.